You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 601, Mummies, Jellyfish, and Aliens. Oh my. Hope you guys enjoyed the 5 bonus episodes. I did 4 of those in 2 days before Christmas. Then I waited until right before the 5th one aired before I did record the 5th one, just in case something crazy popped up. But not going to lie, I had done so much research in season 5 that I knew what I wanted to talk about, and I just grabbed a bunch of information from the internet, fed it through ChatGPT, and I was like, write me something to say. I did a little bit of editing to what it said, and then I just did that. Not to short you guys or anything, but man, my brain needed a break. What I want to talk about is a couple things I touched on in bonus episode number 5. There's some expanding on some of these stories. So I'm going to go into that. And season 6 of the Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. So I hope everybody enjoyed the end of the year, their holidays, their Christmas, or whatever you celebrate, your New Year's. And I hope your January wasn't too crazy. It was crazy for some people. It's been a crazy year already. It's only February. I've got plans for a bunch of stories, but I am interested to know what you guys want to hear me cover. So you can always contact the show at podcasts@primitiveintelligence.com. And I will take those suggestions into consideration. And if there's something that you really want to talk about, let me know. You don't need any special equipment. You can use your phone and I can bring you in and have you on the show if you like. So just let me know, podcasts@primitiveintelligence.com. And you can probably tell by the title what I want to talk about. So the first thing I want to talk about is the Mexican alien mummies. Oh, the story that just doesn't want to go away. Now, if you're not familiar with this, I will do a recap here and I will tell you. Now, there's an entire episode that I did on this. I think it's episode 507. It's called Show Me the Mummy. And it's just about this. But it was a wild and crazy story. So here's the recap. Shortly after the U.S. Subcommittee on UAPs, the Congressional or Senate Subcommittee on UAPs, where we had the 3 witnesses, the whistleblowers, who came out and testified about what they know about UAP. It was very well done. The U.S. hearing came right out of the gate and said, look, this isn't about aliens. This is something that's going on and we don't know what it is. And that is really the way you got to look at this. I understand why they are edging away from the term UFO, because it does have a certain connotation to it. And if you want to look at this more seriously, like the government wants to do, then you have to separate the crazy from it. And the UFO stories can be crazy. Look, I'm not going to lie. I know they can be crazy. It doesn't mean they're not true, but in order to really look at it objectively, you've got to put that aside. So that's what the U.S. Senate and the subcommittee seem to be doing. They're trying to put that craziness aside. So calling them UAPs, it puts a little distance between them and UFOs, but it also allows them to include things that may not be in the air, underwater objects, things that go from the air to the sea, things that seem to disappear into the ground, disappear into thin air, right? So it covers all of that. So after that hearing, which was interesting, and I think you can probably still find it online if you haven't watched it and you've got a few hours to kill, I definitely suggest if you're interested in this stuff, you check that out. But after that, Mexico had its own congressional hearing. During this hearing, they heard from people from all over the world. Now, I didn't go back and check my notes, but I know that some of the representatives they had were from Mexico, of course, Brazil, that I remember, Japan, the U.S., and there were others. And from the U.S., there was Ryan Graves, who was one of the witnesses in the U.S. congressional hearing. And I forget the other guy, but he's somebody who's pretty well known in the UFO community. So the second half of the hearing, though, was all about the unveiling of these 2 small mummified alien bodies, air quotes, if you're not watching the video, air quotes. And they were really excited to show these aliens. But afterwards, 2 days after this congressional hearing, Ryan Graves, the U.S., I think he's from the Air Force or Navy originally, and he was a pretty straight shooter. So when he said on a tweet that the Mexican hearing was a complete sham, I had to look into it. I had to. Like, this guy was way too straight of a shooter to just come out and say that. So something had to be up. This got me interested. Now, I already thought, though, just I had heard some of the stories. I had seen the photos. And as far as I'm concerned, even to this day, that's all I needed to see. I immediately, as soon as I looked, I went, those things are fake. They are so fake. But I figured, let me look into this. So it turns out the guy who headed the Mexican congressional hearing he's not part of Mexican Congress. His name's Jaime Muzan. He's a popular Mexican TV host of paranormal shows. He was a part of a 2017 series and documentary called Unearthing Nazca about, surprise, surprise, Peruvian alien mummies. He was also involved in several paranormal hoaxes, like a mummified alien baby that turned out just to be a display in a museum that somebody had taken a picture of. There was like this weird thing that was eating animals on a farm, and there's like this little weird bat creature thing, like all kinds of weird things. And the stories that I was seeing were always kind of painting Muzan to be like the gullible lunk. Like, he just means well and people rope him into this. But I don't think that's the case. And especially now, I don't think that's the case. He knows damn well what he's doing. Now, along with Muzan was his medical professional, this guy Benitez, who is a long time associate of Muzan and backed him up on most of those hoaxes, was involved in those hoaxes and the TV show. The mummies that were shown in the Mexican hearing were supposedly new specimens that were not a part of the TV show. But a lot of the x-rays and the scans and the information that they showed were straight from the show. Straight from the show. I just hope nobody ever watched it. It seemed like during this hearing, the translators didn't quite get everything correct. Now, obviously, some of the people that are there, I speak English. I speak a very little bit of Spanish and even less German. But like when the people who were speaking English were talking, you could still hear what they're saying, even though they're overdubbing the translators on them. And then I had Google translating what they were saying. So there's a lot of translating going on, and some of it didn't match up. Some of that may have been just from Google Translate, but some of it was just completely wrong. But it seemed like they got their certain point where they'd heard from everyone they wanted to hear from. They got the information that they wanted, and they really, really, really wanted to show off these mummies, where they just stopped translating. And the guy I felt the worst for was the representative from Japan, because he got up and he was right to business and he just started talking. And everybody in the room are just looking at each other because nobody can understand what he's saying. He's just rattling off what he has to say in Japanese, expecting there to be a translator. Nobody's translating. And everybody's just looking. What's he saying? So they have to stop him. And he looks super confused and annoyed. Because, of course, he's got this, this thing all set. And that they stop him. And they grab a translator, who clearly does not have a good grasp on Japanese. And they look at him and go, okay, go ahead. And he starts over, and the translator is just doing this kind of thing the whole time. Aliens? UFOs? I didn't get that. It was really bad. Really, really, really bad. I was able to pull some of what he was saying and run it through like Google Translate. And it just seemed like he was talking about reporting, and maybe he was telling a story about lights, if I remember correctly, but it was just really bad. Like, he had no idea. So no wonder why Ryan Graves was like, this was a circus. Because the next thing they do is they pull out these little alien mummy bodies in these boxes under glass. They look like they're made out of cake. And I immediately, as soon as I saw those, I was like, that is such bullshit. And I didn't even watch their presentation of them. As soon as they showed those, I saw them for about 30 seconds and I turned the thing off. I was like, I'm out. So I looked into the people involved, right? This Muisson and Benitez, and this show, Unearthing Nazca, because this is what Jaime Muisson is kind of best known for. He was all over this show. And so I looked into this Unearthing Nazca, originally done as a series, but it was also done as a documentary. Like, they stopped the series, like at season one, they just redid it as a documentary. The information didn't match up. There's new information. There was information that was changed. The whole chronology of it was wrong. I went through and looked at old newspapers and went through old social media posts to try to line up the timeline with what they were saying in the show and what was really happening. I was able to corroborate some of it, but the rest of it, like I said, the chronology was all off. And then we get to their resident archaeologist, this Thierry Yamin. Now, this guy is from France, moved to Peru. He's an explorer. He's like an Indiana Jones style character. He even dresses a little bit like Indiana Jones. But he turns out, was dealing with grave robbers. That's where he got the original mummies from. And after the show, he had tried to get a permit to go do a dig in Machu Picchu. Of course, Peru is going to vet the guy. So like, oh, you're from France. You're an archaeologist from France. So they contact France. France is like, we don't know who this guy is. Yeah, he's a French citizen, but he's never gone to college here. He doesn't have any degrees from France. Don't let him dig in Machu Picchu. So it seems like everybody involved with these little alien mummies are just shady. So I was pretty sure that this is all faked. There was a lot more need to be done to convince me that it was real than they could possibly do. So I just immediately was like, this is all fake. And yes, this is the summary of this. This was crazy, this whole story. But then there's a second hearing and a couple months later in Mexico. And they basically just had this hearing, and it was again run by Muisson. And they basically just came out and said, no, it's all true. It's all true. We've sent it to doctors and scientists, and they corroborate everything we say. They were once real living beings that are not from this planet. They're not like anything we've ever seen before. And then this Thierry Yamin, like, he's not a part of this Mexican congressional hearing. So I go to his Facebook page, which I found when I was doing the research on the show. And at first he's like, F these guys, they stole these things and we don't know where they got them from. The Peruvian government needs to go after him. Then once people start like taking it serious, he flip-flops and he's like, no, yay for them. I'm so glad this is bringing more attention. And then he's like, again, he flips back to like, nah, no, no, they're all full of crap. And then he's back to, yay, they're my heroes. So this guy's flip-flopping back and forth. And then in January 2024, Peru speaks out. During the show, the Peruvian government, the show made it seem like the government wasn't interested, but if you read between the lines of what was being said, they were just fed up with these guys. So in 2024, January, Peru, the government speaks out. They have acquired two more alien mummies. And I'm like, what? There's two more, and the Peruvian government has their hands on them. This story falls apart immediately. So they find these two mummies at an airport in a cardboard box with a DHL label on it. Somebody's trying to ship these mummies out of Peru. Basically, FedEx. And they're dressed in like traditional ancient Peruvian garb. And the government just seizes them. And they're like, we're putting an end to this right now. And they send them to an institute. And they're like, we know they're not real artifacts, so just tear them apart and tell us what they're made out of. And it turns out the alien mummies are made out of plaster, glue, and animal bones. And they're not shy about showing it either. they'd ripped them apart and they're just showing them, like cut them up and they look, this is just glue and paper, just paper mache. Somebody made these things. There was like a three-fingered hand in the box, and they think it was just a human hand that somebody took the thumb and index finger off of. It's really bad. So the thing is, they look identical to the aliens in the Mexican Hearing, which looked very similar to the aliens in the TV show. And all the x-rays look almost identical. So someone's just spitting these things out. And they got like a couple models that they send out, but they're all the same. Probably one of the key takeaways from this is that you don't ship alien mummies in DHL. You just don't do it. They're going to get found. But it really seems like what Rocco and I were talking about in that episode, Show Me the Mummy, that this really seemed to be a money grab. It seemed like somebody was making these and they started selling them. And then somebody came along and said, hey, that's a pretty good idea. And they start selling them. And then somewhere along the line, Thierry Yamin got involved and he's like, that's a great idea. Let me get in on it. And then he shows them off to this TV crew. And Jaime Wasson, who's like, hey, a hoax, count me in. And then he runs with it. And then he takes them to Mexico and it just fell apart. Big money grab, big scam. Jaime Wasson, they can never, they, I mean, they let him run a congressional hearing and he made the Mexican government look like fools. This guy needs to be removed from the public eye. Like, no more TV shows. If you cry alien again, you're out. You know, if he still wants to say these things are real, he's got to find a legit scientific institute that is calling him out on his bullshit. And he needs to send those aliens to them. Because if they get them and they can't debunk them, because he's going to say, oh, those aren't the same ones. Someone's copying our thing and blah, 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 blah. Send them to actual scientists. Doesn't have to be in the U.S., anywhere in the world. Send them to anyone in the world who's going to do a real, honest-to-God research on them and then publish those findings. They probably already did, and they don't publish them because they know what they said. Hopefully, that's the end of these Peruvian-Mexican alien mummies, because that story is just ridiculous. And the fact that it lasted as long as it has is crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy. They literally look like they were made out of cake. How did that last so long? Speaking of weird looking things, the other story I talked about in the last bonus episode was the jellyfish UFO. Now you got the jellyfish and then you've also got this new chandelier UAP, they're calling it. So the chandelier UAP is, there's no video of it yet. Apparently there is video, but it's not approved for release. And all of these things are going through Jeremy Corbell. I don't know much about Jeremy Corbell. I don't know enough about Jeremy Corbell to have an opinion. I just know that he seems to have an awful lot of information fall in his lap. So I'm not sure why. Maybe there's good reason for it. I haven't really looked into him. When I see him talk, it seems like he's being legitimate, like he's seems well-spoken, seems like he believes what he's being told. So I don't really have a reason to doubt anything that he's releasing. But so he says he's got this video about this chandelier UAP. He's not authorized to release the video yet, but he has released a photo. And the photo makes it look like a square with points coming out of all six facets of it, like a cube and with points coming out. They say it moves in weird ways. And that's pretty much all they can say right now. Basically, that if and when the video gets released, it's going to blow people's minds. But this comes hot on the heels of the jellyfish UFO. And if you haven't seen this one, see if I can put a picture up of it here if you're watching the video. The jellyfish, to me, looks like a balloon that someone has draped some seaweed over. That's what it looks like. There are some oddities about it because the things hanging off it don't seem to move at all. They're not even rocking back and forth, it looks like. So that's kind of weird. But, I mean, it's just really bizarre. The video is shot in thermal, I think infrared thermal. So it's showing, I believe, warm is black and cool is white. I think that's what it's showing. It's hard to tell. And everything around it stays consistent, but the UAP itself appears to change from like a dark gray to a light gray. Now, the one thing I wanted to try that I just didn't have the time to do, I kind of ran out of time before I recorded, but I want to go through that footage and do like a color sample when it's dark and then do a color sample of it when it's light and see if it's an optical illusion. Have you ever seen those optical illusions where you've got the checkerboard and then it shows two squares on either side of it? It's like, which one's darker? And they're actually the same shade because of the pattern that's around them. I wonder if that's what's going on with that a little bit. Like maybe it's not changing colors. Maybe it's staying the same, but your eye thinks it's changing colors because of the shades that are changing in the background. I have not had a chance to check that, but it's possible. And I don't know what to make of this one. I really don't, because it is bizarre. It looks kind of familiar, but I can't put my finger on it. And I think it's because it looks like a balloon with seaweed on it. I think that's why it looks familiar. So I've watched a lot of videos, watched a lot of people's reactions to it. And some people, they jump right to, oh, it's aliens. Some people jump to, it's all CGI. Some people jump to, it's clearly balloons. And the video that I saw, I don't remember their name. Do I have it in the links here on the page? I do not. But they are video effects guys, and you probably know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. They're video effects guys who go through and debunk a lot of these videos. And a lot of times when I watch them, when they talk about what they're saying, I watch it and I go, oh, yeah, I can see that. Even if it's a video of them, I want to be real. As soon as they're like, oh, it's this, and I go, oh, that, and you know what, you're right. They debunk this one. And the way they debunk it is actually, it's pretty smart, but I don't think they're right. So they found where at least they say they found what the base is. So they show the base and they show where the video was taken from. Now, I knew it was from a security platform, but I didn't know what the platform was. I assumed it was what they say it is, but I wasn't sure. So the military uses these tethered, oh, they look like blimps. And I think they go like 500 feet up or something like that, maybe 1,000 feet up. But they're tethered. They're tethered to the ground. They don't go anywhere. So they stay relatively stationary. And they're used for security reasons. So they've got all their security sensors on there. They got their cameras. They got all that stuff right up there. It's not manned, but the feed comes straight down. So they can see in real time what's going on. And they just kind of float it up there. Excellent. So that's what they're using. So they show this base in Iraq on Google Maps. I'm able to tell where it is from what they show on Google Maps. And then I pull it up in Google Earth. And I watch what they do. And I go exactly where they go. And I look. And they say, look, this is a really small base. They kind of circle this little base area because it's a really small base. So this thing has to be moving really slow. And then they got this balloon platform. And this is how they got this footage. And then I went to Google Earth and I did what they call time warp. And time warp allows you to go back as far as they've got imagery for a certain area and pull up that satellite imagery on Google Earth. So I went back to 2018, and as luck would have it, in the 2018 footage where this tethering point is, there's a balloon in the air while they took the picture. So you can see exactly how high these things are. And judging by that, there's no way possible that security surveillance blimp tethered at that point was getting video of the buildings that they say they were getting video of, because it's so high up, it would have been looking straight down on them. So I zoom out and I notice that the base isn't just this little area. This base is actually huge. It's about 3.5 miles across. So from what I can tell, from what I saw in the jellyfish video and what I'm seeing in the satellite, now it's hard to tell exactly because it's different perspectives, but it looks like if this is the base they're talking about, the area that the blimp is looking at when it sees this UAP is about 1.5 miles away. So that would change the speed that it's moving. And also the fact that the distance, this thing could be anywhere in between the blimp, and these barracks. So it could be anywhere in that mile and a half. So that would also change its speed. So maybe it's moving slower, maybe it's moving faster. But we know that the platform isn't moving. It's not like a drone that's flying by. So it's relatively stationary. So that was the first thing. I was like, oh, no. So that was the first thing I saw. I was like, no, that's, you're wrong on that. It's not looking there. It's looking over there. So that may change something. I don't know what. The other thing to talk about is in that video, the way that the lighting on the UAP changes is consistent with the exposure changes happening in the background. And immediately I got to think, I don't think that's right, because this is thermal imaging. This isn't, it's not looking at visible light. It's looking at infrared, which means exposure doesn't mean anything. And I don't think cameras like that even have an exposure setting. I'm not 100% sure on it. So it would mean that the UAP, if it is changing shades, then that is very bizarre, because it shouldn't get hot and cold as it's moving like that. There's no reason for it. And the next thing that footage points out to me, and it is a very big question, is where are all the people? This is a military base. The security blimp has pinpointed and is tracking a slow moving object over the base. Where are the people? Because there should be someone, at least one person out there trying to shoot that thing down. There's one spot where there's a couple frames where you see two people, but they are not paying attention to this thing whatsoever. It looks like one is going into a building and the other one's approaching, maybe saying something to them. It's only a few frames, so it's hard to tell, but they are not focused on this UAP. So that tells me either A, they know exactly what it is, or B, it can only be seen with these thermal optics. They can't see it with the naked eye. There is a story, and I'll put a link to this in the bottom, of a soldier who says he served at that base and they knew about it. And it was like a ghost story, he says. Like, people saw it, but there's nothing we could do about it. It never threatened us. It never looked like it was in a threatening posture. So we let it go. We just ignored it. I find that hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that a military base was okay with an unknown object flying over the base. This guy also says that Corbell isn't correct in saying that the jellyfish goes into the water at one point and then comes out. Corbell says, no, there's footage of that. This guy says it never happened. Maybe it never happened when he saw it. I don't know. I haven't seen that footage, hasn't been released yet. So I don't know. But you would think that a military base, especially in the Middle East, that this was a military base in the U.S., you might be a little more lenient of an air balloon going over, like a Mylar balloon. You might be like, oh, okay, well, somebody let a Mylar balloon go. A military base with a giant lake on one side and probably a couple miles from the nearest city. And there's a city not far from there, but it's a ways away. The base is 3.5 miles across. There's balloons flown across. You would think that even if it was completely innocent looking, that would be a threat, because it's not unheard of. I saw an interview on a News Nation video with this gentleman, Nick Pope. He's a former British intelligence agent. And they asked him about it. And he's like, look, if it's just a balloon, that's a threat. Because balloons can carry payloads. And you don't let that fly over. And I agree. You don't let that fly over. You just don't. So they either know what it is, or they've tried to shoot it down. They know it won't come down. Or they can't see it without the right optics. So I don't know what to think of this one. I really don't. I mean, I don't think it's just a Mylar balloon. I really don't believe that the government, the military, like, I know we didn't shoot down the Chinese spy balloon that flew across the country last year immediately. So people are like, well, of course they would let it go. We didn't know what the payload was on that. We didn't know what was on it. There could have been a chemical compound in there. Could have got people sick. It could have fallen in a weird spot, hurt somebody. Now, whether that was the right call or not, I don't know. But we're talking about a military base in Iraq, with weird things flying over, you shoot that thing down. You want to know whose that is. If it's not ours, you shoot it down because you want to know whose it is. So I don't know about that one. It's really weird. The only other explanation I can come up with is it's the footage is as real as it can be, but it was faked by the military just so that there was another piece of footage to float around to keep people occupied looking into that and not looking at something else. That is always an option because it's a great way to keep people from paying attention to something else. You dangle a shiny thing in front of them. Ooh, look at this one. And if they leak it to someone who's been giving good information in the past, they don't care if they ruin that Corbell's reputation. They don't care. You gotta leak it out. Let them have it. People run with it. They'll never figure it out. Or they will. And then his reputation is destroyed, but we'll find somebody else. Trust me. That stuff, it happens. Counterintelligence, it's red flags all the time. You know, and then with the hush-hushness of this chandelier, are they just waiting for the jellyfish to blow over and see how people react to that before they release this one? I don't know. It's really, it's weird footage. And there's a lot going on with Disclosure and these UAPs. And I don't know if any of it is true. I think it's as true as the people that are reporting it believe it to be. But I just don't know if it's really true. Are they being misled? Are they being shown things just to talk? Because it seems weird that they're giving them permission to talk about some of the stuff. I don't know. That's the skeptical side of me. That's the kind of jaded side of me that thinks somebody's being set up here. And then the other story that popped up in January that I want to talk about is this Miami Riverside Marketplace alien sighting. Do you remember last year the green comet that fell from the sky? The green light that came down while the police were at that house and they caught it on their body cam, and then this family says there is aliens in the yard. And then in Miami, suddenly there's these 8 to 10 foot tall aliens running around the mall. I mean, it all fits together pretty good. In the bonus episode, I talked about how it fits in with the idea of Project Bluebeam, which is this conspiracy that says that the government's going to use hologram technology to fake a alien invasion or some religious event. Because there's a lot of talk. People are saying that aliens aren't extraterrestrial, but they're interdimensional demons. I'm not sure what the difference would be, to be honest with you. That's still pretty alien. But there does seem to be this concerted effort to join extraterrestrial and religious. Extraterrestrial and demonic. Like, people are trying to make this, you know, your peanut butter got in my chocolate kind of thing, where they're the same and always have been. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But the alien invasion at this mall was very much people tried to make this out to be alien demons. Some people calling it aliens, some people saying they're demons. Basically, the story is something that really did happen was there was a whole lot of police that showed up at the Riverside Marketplace in Miami. I think it was January 12th, I think. I could be wrong about that. I mean, a lot, like all of them were there. There was immediately reports that there was power outages, that there was the airspace over the mall was closed. The police scanners stopped working. Cell phones stopped working. There was all kinds of reports. And then somebody had a video from, I don't know if it was a hotel room or maybe an apartment in a building across the street, and it looked like there was this tall creature that walked past the front of the building. No one could get a hold of any of the footage from the cameras. People were saying that as they were leaving the mall, police were taking their phones and deleting their pictures and videos. There were reports from people inside the mall saying that they had seen these large gray creatures. Looked like they came out of a portal. There was a guy who said that he saw kids hanging out. He was on the second floor looking down to the first, and he saw them with this device that looked like a like a DVD player, like a portable DVD player. And they were looking for a power outlet, and they plugged it in, and this portal appeared, and it shimmered, and they glitched into existence, and they kind of climbed out of this portal. And a lot of people were saying the same thing. And it was really weird. There was a lot of stories about it. But there was no evidence. There was some video evidence that kind of showed what they were talking about, but video evidence is really easy to fake. It really is. And the stuff was really grainy. So it always makes me, you know, and some of it took a few days to come out. Some was like, oh, I've just, you know, gained the courage to release this. No, you didn't. It took you that long to render it. What are you talking about? So the main guy who was telling the story about how he was running out of there with his family and they saw these things, and very convincing. He came out a couple days after that and he's like, I made it all up. I was just trying to have some fun with the internet. And people jumped on it, right? He's like, it's all it takes is somebody come out with a story, and then people, mass hysteria. They just fall into it. Is that real? Is that true? Is that what happened? Or, you know, who knows? I know people are immediately going to say, well, he got hushed. He came out with the story, and then the government went to his house and they told him, you can't tell that story. It's already out. What are they going to do at that point? You just take the footage down. And the way the news cycle works, you just let it disappear. Do you remember the four things we shot down over North America after the Chinese spy balloon? And they're not talking about that, are they? That just went away. Trust me, an alien invasion and a Miami mall will go away pretty quickly. So you don't hush people. That just makes things more suspicious. It's more likely a guy just made it up and people jumped in on it. It was a really cool story. And the funny thing is, there's a few channels I follow. Some people went down there and like, we're going to do our own investigation. We're going to have a lot of videos about this. We're going to do this deep investigation. And then you never see another video about it because this guy came out and said it's fake. And they went, oh, well, this is a waste of time. And they didn't put anything else up. It is common to have happen where these stories, and I think, I don't want to make it of the story. I think it was from Illinois somewhere where the cops saw the green streak come down, and then the people, family says there's aliens in their backyard. To me, that green streak looked like a shooting star. It looked like a meteorite hit, or came very close, right? A meteor came close to striking. I've seen really large shooting stars that get really close, and they make this real bright green streak like that. I mean, we were coming back from New York. We were hiking out there years ago, and we were coming back. We were on 84 heading towards Scranton. We were, I think, between like Promised Land and Lord's Valley. So in that stretch right there, and it was dark, and I was in the back seat. I was on the driver's side. I was looking out the window, and I just happened to be looking in the right spot. And it was bright enough that the two in front, Rocco was there and our friend April, they saw the light. It was that bright. And they looked and they just caught the end of it. But it was this bright green streak. And I think it landed. I mean, I saw it go below the tree line. And it wasn't off in the distance. It was pretty close. And it was just like, and I was like, whoa. So that's exactly what that body cam footage looked like to me. So did something land in their yard? Yeah, maybe it was a meteorite. And they were like, hey, we can get some publicity out of this. Let's say aliens landed. Because there were videos that popped up. And again, they took a while. Because the family was like, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. And I think it wasn't that they didn't want to talk about it. It was that it takes time for videos to render. Especially when you're doing a lot of CGI. I think that's what was happening. Because the one video clip, and it's very well done. And they don't point it out. They don't say anything about it. They just release the video and they let people find these little nuggets themselves. And it looks like something's peeking through the fence. And at one point it looks like there's the fingers like off on the side. Like it's really well done, but I'm pretty sure it was CGI'd. Because, you know, that's the way things go. That's what people like to do. They like the TikTok fame. I don't know. I don't know why people do some of that stuff. Sometimes it's just so blatantly fake. They think it's good. And they're like, I'm going to fool some people. There's a lot of people out there that it takes more than just a flashy video to get people to believe. Some of them are really well done. But a lot of times you can just tell. And some, if it's too good to be true, like if it's too grainy, it's like, I don't believe that. And if it's too clear, it's like, I don't believe that either. I don't know. When do you believe? When don't you believe? The questions that we have when we deal with this kind of stuff. A lot of it's fun to think about. And I like to keep an open mind. And there's things like this that I want to believe are true. But some was just hard to believe because it's just hard to believe. But we're going to dive into more stuff like this and some other interesting topics and things that I haven't even thought of yet. And I'm sure there's going to be crazy stuff that happens in the world that's going to give me enough to talk about throughout season 6. Hope you guys are excited for it. Again, if you've got anything you want to hear me talk about, anything you want me to look into, let me know. podcast@primitiveintelligence.com. I'm going to see if I can get a few episodes with Rocco back on. And still, I'm always looking for guests. But unfortunately, the place where I look for guests, they always want to talk about their self-help book. I don't know when that's what podcasts became about. Everybody's got, they want to tell you how you should live. I don't want to tell you how you should live. You know how you should live? The way you want to. How about that? You do you. I'll come up with crazy stories and tell you about them. Other than that, do your own thing. That's all the self-help you need. You're doing fine. I really don't want to. There's been a couple people I've emailed back and forth and thought, oh, this, they're going to be good fit for the show. And then they're like, oh, and by the way, I also have this book on 1001 ways to peel a carrot to get the best nutrients out of it. And I'm just like, delete. Nope. You guys don't want to, unless you want to hear about that. Maybe I'll get the 1001 ways to peel a carrot person on. You let me know. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I'm knocking the cobwebs off. It doesn't seem like it, but yeah, a little over a month of not recording and doing this. It takes a little bit to get back in the swing of things. So hope you guys enjoyed this one. A lot more to come. And like I said, you're doing just fine. You're doing fine. That's going to do it for me for this week. I will talk to you next week. See ya.